This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There is no question now that the race is on. Both President Barack Obama and his presumptive Republican challenger, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, are campaigning in all-important Ohio today, the first time both men have taken their message to the same state in the same day.
Ohio has already had a taste of President Obama's message. This week, it was one of nine swing states blanketed by a new television ad that attacks Romney's Massachusetts gubernatorial record.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
When Mitt Romney was governor, Massachusetts was number one in state debt, $18 billion in debt, more debt per person than any other state in the country.
Well, joining us now is Callum Borchers, correspondent for the Boston Globe, and our one-man truthiness meter. That's what I'm going to call you from now on, Callum. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Glad to be here.
So let's dissect this ad. What do we make of that first claim that Massachusetts was number one in state debt when Mitt Romney was governor?
It is true, although, as with so many statistics, it doesn't tell the entire picture. It relies on Moody's annual state debt medians report, which is something that they publish every year. And the stat in the ad, you see it on the graphic, is that when Romney was governor of Massachusetts in 2007, his last year, the per capita debt in Massachusetts was $4,153. Now, that sounds like a lot, but it's important to remember that debt is accumulated over a state's entire time. So not all of that money came from Governor Romney. I went back and I looked at Moody's state median's debt reports for myself, and what I found is that the key metric for them seems to be debt as a share of personal income, which makes sense, because if you look only at the debt on a per capita basis, it doesn't take into account the fact that some states have wealthier populations than others.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at that, I looked at the growth of debt as a share of personal income between 2002, which is the year before Romney took office, and 2006, which was his last full year in office. And when I did that, I found that in Massachusetts, the growth was only 15%, which ranked us 23rd out of 50 states, right in the middle of the pack. And that's probably a more balanced way of looking at the debt burden on Massachusetts citizens and the extent to which the burden actually got heavier under Romney.
Interesting. So perhaps our higher than average median income sort of tempered the claim that President Obama's campaign is trying to make.
Sure. If you look at some of the top states, you know, Connecticut is right up there as well, which every year ranks among the wealthiest in the nation. So, you know, $4,000 per person in Connecticut or Massachusetts perhaps is not the same as it would be in, I don't know, Alabama or Louisiana.
All right. So the ad then goes on to make this claim.
At the same time, Massachusetts fell to 47th in job creation, one of the worst economic records in the country.
Okay, Callum, true or not?
That is also true, and it's a claim that we've heard several times before and one I think we chatted about a bit last week. But to review, what that takes into account is where Massachusetts ranked for the cumulative four-year period that Mitt Romney was governor. What it doesn't take into account is the progress made over the course year to year during that four-year period. So when I looked at it a couple of weeks ago, I found that in year one of the Romney term, they were dead last, 51 out of 51 if you include Washington, D.C. And by year four, Massachusetts ranked 32 out of 51. So again, kind of in the middle of the pack, and there was some progress there. The Romney campaign, of course, says that was a turnaround. The Obama campaign says 47 overall, not so hot.
It's interesting because, as you've noted, there has been a lot of truth squatting on that claim, and yet the Obama campaign continues to call it, especially in this most recent ad, Romney economics. But today, Mitt Romney swung back with this ad that features facts about how troubled the economy is regarding unemployment and home ownership. And then the ad cuts to this quotation from the president.
The private sector is doing fine.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
So, Callum, a counterattack on President Obama saying the private sector is doing fine there. Is that effective?
Well, Mitt Romney better hope that it is, because he's putting $3+ million behind that ad buy in swing states. So he's betting on it being an effective line of argument. And it's an important one for him, Meghna, because polls have consistently shown that voters believe the president is more in touch with the concerns of middle-class voters than Mitt Romney is. And so this, a lot of people have called it a gaffe, but these remarks that the president made on Friday about the private sector doing fine, he has really pounced on that as evidence that the president is the one who's out of touch with the way private sector business is in the country right now. So he is trying to really turn the tables on Obama with this one.
Okay, interesting. So let's talk for a minute about how actual voters are are responding to the economic plans, the proposed policies, not the politics that have been laid out by both President Obama and Mitt Romney. I understand that there's a new poll out that finds that voters actually aren't all that impressed by what the two gentlemen have proposed.
Yeah, that's right. Neither side is really making its case all that effectively, according to this poll, which the Washington Post and ABC News published yesterday. What they found is that 51% of registered voters have an unfavorable view of the president's economic plan, and 46% have an unfavorable view of Mitt Romney's plan. So that's not great marks for either one. And the numbers are even a little bit worse among independent voters for both of them. So they have a lot of convincing to do.
Okay, so they tried to do some of that convincing today because, as we were saying, today in Ohio, both President Barack Obama and Mitt Romney were in that all-important swing state campaigning. And at about a quarter to two today, President Obama was in Cleveland saying this.
Of course, we have a lot more work to do. Everybody knows that. The debate in this election is about how we grow faster and how we create more jobs and how we pay down our debt. That's the question facing the American voter.
And at virtually the exact same time, Mitt Romney was in Cincinnati saying this.
I know that he will have all sorts of excuses, and he'll have all sorts of ideas he'll describe about how he'll make things better. But what he says and what he does are not always the exact same thing.
So, Callum, is this the template we're going to see for the campaign between now and November? Swing states and the economy ad infinitum, essentially?
Most probably. I mean, as we've seen in poll after poll, the economy is the number one issue in this campaign, and both sides are going to make the claim that their view is the way to go. And it can be kind of confusing. I was watching both of the candidates speak today, and they're trying to distill their philosophies down into one word, which is probably an oversimplification. But on Romney's side, the word would probably be freedom, and on the Obama side, the word would probably be fairness. I think that sort of summarizes where you're looking at. You know, Governor Romney really wants to deregulate. He really is an advocate of free market principles and believes that that is the way to prosperity. President Obama talks a lot about building an economy in which everybody gets a fair shot. And to him, that might require a little bit more regulation than Governor Romney would like. Taxes is a big issue here. You know, nobody mentioned the Buffett rule, I don't think, by name today, but there was a lot of talk about that. We heard Romney talk about Senator Rubio from Florida and his parents saying, you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, but we weren't looking for a handout. And then you have, you know, President Obama coming back and saying the wealthy people are going to have to pay a little bit more. That's the only fair way to do things.
Callum, while I've got you, I've got to ask you one last question about conventional wisdom and how Massachusetts is bucking that this time around. Because when November rolls around, everyone basically presumes that politically Massachusetts is going to go towards President Barack Obama. So you'd think that the campaigns wouldn't be paying too much attention to the state. But you've reported that they are in one critical way, that both campaigns have paid a combined $45 million to Massachusetts businesses and consultants. So why has the business of presidential politics been so good to the Bay State?
That's right. A lot of it has to do with the fact that, of course, Governor Romney is from Massachusetts. This is his adopted home state, and his headquarters are here. And he's using local businesses a lot, or local consultants a lot. And even President Obama, you know, he's doing the same in his home state of Illinois. But he's also spending a fair amount here in the Bay State. There's only four other states that he has spent more in. He's using a couple of call centers in Cambridge, for instance, for telemarketing. And they have gotten about $2 million combined in work for the Romney campaign, for the Obama campaign, rather. You know, on Romney's side, you've got a wide swath of businesses and consultants here from Massachusetts. So the money's not showing up in the form of advertisements that they're buying on TV. If you want to watch the political ads here, you have to watch them online. But they are using local businesses, and it's a nice little injection for business owners here in the Bay State.
Callum Borchers is correspondent for the Boston Globe and Radio Boston's one-man truthiness meter. Callum, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Meghna. Thanks.